Good Friday morning. It's a beautiful one, isn't it? I love the sun. Just think, last week we were digging out. I think I was admiring my snowman. I built a snowman last week, and it is actually, you can still see, it started at probably 5 feet. I'm being a little generous there, and now it's down to 1.5 feet, but it's still there. I wanted to play that song, I Will Survive, when I was looking at it this morning. It inspired me. Anyway, it's beautiful here this morning at the base of Pikes Peak. And one thing I really want to put on your radar is the visitor center up at the Air Force Academy. It, just take a drive by it. It's unbelievable how fast the construction is going. And it looks beautiful. Looks beautiful. At night, it's lit up. And the fact they're going to have the hotel up there, it's going to be a gateway, people coming in from Denver, which so many do. You know, we try to push the local Colorado Springs Airport. But we still have to remember, a lot of people do fly into Denver, and they come down through that I-25 corridor. And it'll be so beautiful to have, you know, that is one of the first things they see. Off on the west side, the beautiful Air Force Academy, and the fact that they will not have to go through the security gates now, right, to get where the visitor center is now, is pretty deep into the campus there of the Air Force Academy. So it's beautiful that people will be able to peel off the highway and see one of the special things we have here in Colorado Springs. We're so blessed to have the Air Force Academy, and it started up in Denver. And there was many people who fought hard to get it down here to Colorado Springs. And it not only makes a huge impact on our economy having it down here, but it is amazing to go out and watch the sporting events and see these men and women who sign up to be serve our country, number one. And then number two, you know, really say, hey, I'm going to make a sacrifice and have such a different college experience than most of their peers have. And at the same time, a majority of them are competing in sports. You know, you think about the football team, the basketball team, and how well they do competing at a Division I level in the Mountain West. And, you know, the fact is they're still serving, right? They're performing their military duties and rigorous academics. And so, take a drive out there, folks, and see the progress. It really is unbelievable. We talk about what's going on in the history of the United States, and some patriotism to get us going is back in 1944 on March 22nd, which is today, the 466th Bomb Group flew their first mission into Berlin. And it was a very, very difficult mission, going deep into German territory that early in the war. They were badly hit. The majority of them ended up in POW camps, prisoner of war camps. And Louis Lovsky, he was awarded, it took until 1999, but he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. He was one of the airmen who ended up in these POW camps. And he was liberated from this POW camp by General Patton and his troops April 29th of 1945. And if you haven't had the chance to watch Masters of the Air, it's a great description of the aviation in World War II and the Battle of the Skies and how pivotal it was in the victory that we had in the European theater. And also in the Pacific as well. So Masters of the Skies on Apple TV, it does feature, it's World War II, so it's the European theater. But it's a great thing to watch with the kiddos. I think there was only one inappropriate scene, you know. So other than that, you got 8 episodes of really, you know, pretty clean material and a great description of the history of aviation in World War II. You go along with other series like Band of Brothers, The Pacific. These are great things to share with your family because it shows the greatest generation, what they fought for, and what we get to experience today is really because of the sacrifices these men and women have made. And we have the opportunity to speak with a veteran coming up on the next segment, our hometown hero every week, brought to you by Merry-Go-Rounds. And that is Earl Olam. He's going to be joining us next after these messages. You're listening to Caradio News Radio, The Extra. Okay, we are back, folks. And we're trying to get Earl on the line. We're struggling, but I think we'll get him before the end of the show and be able to interview him on his time in the Army. And if you know anybody, hometown hero here in Colorado Springs, who goes above and beyond, whether it be a teacher, right? Could be retired military, active duty, military, firefighter, police officer, state patrol. There's a lot of people out there who serve our community, and they do it thanklessly. They do a great job. And nonetheless, if you see a police officer, firefighter, it does a world of encouragement. Just go up, shake their hand, and say thank you for your service. Appreciate what you do. You never know the difference that can make and how uplifting it can be to somebody who's really every day, when things are happening that are scary, we're running away. These people are running towards the danger. And there's also a lot of great organizations that we're going to be interviewing later in the year, such as the 100 Club, the Sheriff's Foundation, Shield 616. There are a lot of organizations that step up and they help, just like the 100 Club does, when there is a life lost in the line of duty, to be able to come in and offer support, whether it be financially, but to help the families during a time of crisis. So we are blessed here in Colorado Springs. We have so many great organizations that are willing to help veterans and willing to help police and willing to help firefighters and our first responders as well. So we did talk about the World War II aviation and some of the missions being flown over in to Europe and the Battle of the Skies and how really at the beginning what was happening is you had the Royal Air Force, right, out of Britain. They were flying these missions, and they were starting with nighttime bombing. And it was pretty inaccurate. And the U.S. got involved on the front end of the daytime bombing. And unfortunately, much more casualties were had. You can look up the Bloody 100th. That's how they got that nickname, is because of all the missions they flew deep into Nazi territory and experienced heavy flak, heavy fire, you know, from the fighter pilots. And what these men risked, really, and the odds they knew of not coming back. And it was until the P-51s and, you know, the B-17 being able to be escorted into these missions that made the survivability rate much higher, because they were at least having these P-51s able to defend the B-17s. And it's a beautiful thing just to see the formations of these planes, because there's hundreds of them on some of these missions. And, you know, what even Boeing did and how they were producing the B-17 is a reason why we were able to win World War II. So on the next segment here, after we have ABC News chime in, we're going to be talking about the big change here in the real estate commissions, right? So I'm sure you've seen it on the news. The lawsuit between the National Association of Realtors and some of the big companies such as Berkshire Hathaway and REMAX and Keller Williams, and the list goes on and on. And basically some bunch of sellers got together and attorneys and, you know, went after them for price fixing. So instead of going to trial, the National Association of Realtors and some of the big real estate companies in the United States decided to settle. NAR settled last Friday for $418 million and said in turn there are going to be some changes to the way real estate is practiced. And one of the largest ones is the MLS going away with advertising commissions starting in June, July timeframe. Keep in mind, this settlement still has to be approved. Chances are it will be. But it is very interesting on how it's going to shake up the world of real estate. Not only jobs that are affected by the real estate industry, but also how it's going to affect veterans who are looking to purchase homes, first-time home buyers, and also what it's going to do for property rights, because the National Association of Realtors is the largest trade organization in the United States, and they fight for your property rights, not just rental property rights, right? If you're a landlord, it's your personal property rights. It's the biggest defender is the National Association of Realtors, and they do it at a state level and a national level. And so we're going to get into that and talk a little bit about what's the deeper meaning possibly behind this lawsuit and what the government has even said over the next two decades. They're coming out and saying, we expect, you know, renter growth to double the rate of home ownership. They are expecting a renter nation, right? And we're going to do a little comparison on where that falls with other countries, because believe it or not, we don't lead the way for home ownership in the world. Sadly, we do not. We did lead the way in commissions, so we'll talk about that too and how it's different from country to country, and possibly what this change could look like as we look to other countries and how they have adapted. Once again, folks, if you have somebody who is goes above and beyond, whether it be police, fire, like I said, law enforcement, first responder, let us know. You can shoot me a text at 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. We'd love to have them on the show, hear a little bit about their story, treat them to a meal up at Marigold's. Remember, Marigold's located up off Centennial, and they now have a south location located off Highway 115, Shine Boulevard, over by the famous Hatch Cover. That's right. Go down to their south location, check out their ribs. Best in town. They're on the appetizer menu, and you won't be disappointed, I'll tell you that for sure. So we're going to hear from ABC News, and then we'll be right back here. You're listening to The Extra, KRDO News Radio. Okay, we are back into it here. A lot of good information there, keeping you up to date on what's going on the national level. And unless you got your head in the sand, you've probably seen all the stories in the news this week and last week about the commission lawsuit, National Association of Realtors settling for $418 million, largest trade organization in the United States, probably, you know, the largest form of capitalism for a small business, the real estate industry, I would argue. And the fact is that they're under attack. Whether you agree with it or not isn't really the, you know, you make a case for both sides, but you have to look at the facts. And the facts are, it's done differently in different countries. What could come down the pipeline? Ultimately, this will probably take 2 to 3 years for the consumers to adjust, for the marketplace to adjust, and it will be much different. I'll tell you that right now, and it'll be how do we move forward practicing real estate and what are going to be some of the new things that emerge from the market. But when we look at different countries and commissions, we do rank as one of the higher countries on the list. We rank top three. Number one is Japan. They pay a real estate commission from the seller side of 6.2%. And that's why I've heard some real estate agents who are getting really upset over the last week. I said, hey, it isn't all bad. Japan has some great beaches. I've been there. Great food. If you still want, you know, to experience high commissions, learn to speak Japanese, move to Japan. There are options. Anyway, number two on the list is Argentina. Their average commission is 6%. And then we come rank in third here, folks, at 5.5 average commission in the United States. We're going to talk also about the different commissions state by state. France is behind us at an average of 5. And then let's see here. We have Germany at 4.5, Russia at 3.5, China 2.5, Australia 2.5, Netherlands 2, and the poor folks in the UK at 1.3 of an average commission. So it is really different, totally different, country by country, and the different practices and different representation, right? And how that works. So let's see here. What else can I tell you? I'm going to get pulled up here my chart on the state to state, because that is important that you know every state is different too, right? Each market has certain trends. All real estate commissions are negotiable, but there's different trends that kind of the market may favor, put it that way. So the least expensive real estate commissions, not a big shocker here, the islands of Hawaii, 4.78 average commission last year. Delaware, 4.88. Utah, 4.9. North Dakota, Fighting Sioux, they're at 5. Oregon Ducks, 5.03. So those are the top 5 least expensive by rate last year. When you look at the most expensive by rate, you find West Virginia, 6.67. Mississippi, 6.07. Kentucky, man, I can't believe they got upset. I was listening to Justin Hart explain that game as I was going to appointment yesterday. I couldn't believe it, but that's why you love March Madness. Who wasn't upset? I'm Oakland. I love it. That's why you watch right there, folks. So Kentucky's at 6, Wyoming's at 6, and Alaska is at 6. Colorado didn't bust the top 5 there, but when you look at most expensive by dollars spent, because obviously our home prices are higher than, let's say, the state of Kentucky or Wyoming, when you look at commission dollars spent, we do rank number 5, $29,690. That's behind Hawaii, California, Massachusetts, and the state of Washington. Least expensive dollars spent, Mississippi, West Virginia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Iowa, right? And what's funny is, let's see, the most expensive by rate was West Virginia, and then West Virginia ranks second by the least expensive by dollars spent. That gives you a little idea of their average price per home in West Virginia. So all countries aren't created equal when it comes to looking back on the commission breakdown, and all states aren't created equal. But what is very interesting, most people do not know, which I'm going to get into on the next segment, is the fact that we don't even rank in the top 5 for highest rate of home ownership in the world, which is just, it's baffling. And so I'm going to go over the countries that have the highest home ownership and then break down what we're seeing here in the United States. And what is to come? You're listening to The Extra, Canada News Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, we're cruising into the fourth segment here of The Extra. Thanks for spending your morning with us on Canada News Radio. Hopefully, you're already into work, right? What do we got? 9:46. Beautiful drive today in Colorado Springs. So we're talking about the real estate lawsuit, and if you're not up to speed on this, just Google the word realtor, and you'll get way more information than you need, and you can get up to speed, because it is it's going to change the real estate industry. There's no doubt about it. How the changes will take place, in a large effect, it'll be how the consumers react and to these changes. And it's not going to be quick. It'll probably be over the next couple of years, see how things shake out, and the verdict will be out on whether these changes are good or bad for the consumer, right? And that's always the biggest thing, is the consumer benefiting or are they not? And the biggest concern I see behind this is the fact that there's an attack on property rights here in the United States and the state of Colorado. And home ownership is very it's unattainable, really, for most, I would say, anybody from, 21 to 40. When they polled them, it was like, it was 67% said that they can't even see themselves having a down payment in the next decade to afford to purchase a house. It's disappointing. It really is. And yes, prices have escalated. But the fact of the matter is, it's just wages haven't kept up, right? And that's why people say, real estate is one of the best safeguards during a high inflation time period. And you can see that. You look back over the last 5 years, you can see what has performed well, different sectors of the market. But when we talk home ownership, this is something people really have a tough time wrapping their heads around. And that is the fact that, when I ask people, who do you think the highest country for home ownership is? The United States, of course. Land of the free. Surprisingly, Romania has the highest rate of home ownership. 96% of Romanians own their home. That is unbelievable. 96%. China comes in at 90%. 90% of the Chinese own their homes. Vietnam at 90% home ownership. Russia at 87%. Sudan at 87%. Poland at 86%. India at 86, Pakistan at 86, Japan at 80% home ownership, Spain at 75% home ownership, Algeria at 74% home ownership, Italy at 73%. This list goes on and on. I'm trying to get down the United States here. Brazil at 73, Mexico at 73, Argentina at 68, Egypt at 67. Our good friends up north squeezed us out, 66% in Canada. United States, 66%. Then you have France at 65, United Kingdom at 63, Iran at 60, Turkey 57%, South Korea 56, South Africa 53%, and then 49% in Germany. But to think that the United States is only 66% homeowners, and that we're behind Canada, we're behind Mexico. I mean, these countries that border us, and they're experiencing a much higher rate of home ownership. And want us to question, if you look into the World Economic Forum and the fact that, hey, we're going to create more of an equal platform here, and it's okay for the elite to get rich. We've had a record number of billionaires every year. Look at the difference of the amount of billionaires pre-COVID and post-COVID. It'll blow your mind. And so it's a separation of wealth, and the elite, the super elite, got richer and richer, right? It was just the gap got larger is the easiest way to put it. And the attack of capitalism is alive and well, unfortunately. And the attack on small business, you could see that it wasn't a level playing field during COVID, who had to be shut down and who could stay open. The Walmarts of the world did just fine. What companies benefited from COVID? Take a look at the list. Not many small businesses make that list. Not many small restaurants make that list. There's a thinning of a herd and pushing the wealthier even wealthier, right? And so this attack, I believe, in the real estate commissions goes even deeper because it goes after the National Association of Realtors. The National Association of Realtors, largest trade organization in the United States. And guess what they do? They spend a majority of their capital lobbying for your property rights, the protection of property rights. And so why are they lobbying? Why do they need? Well, look at what we list. of the countries that come in front of us. We're not even top 15 countries of home ownership. Only 66% of Americans own their home. Here in El Paso County, it's about 52%. Now, that number's a little skewed because we have a high transient community with the military. But you can't tell me the priority at the Capitol is how do we become more a tenant-friendly state? Not how do we increase home ownership? How do we protect tenants? How do we push rent control? How do we push the first right of refusal, the just cause eviction? Go read these things. It is a push for more of a tenant-friendly state. And even at the national level, this attack on rent control. And even though Biden talks in the State of the Union about these tax breaks and the push for home ownership, I don't see any facts to back that up. Certainly, there are more people in the rental category right now than people saying, hey, because of the things being done at the federal and the state level, I'm having more doors open to me to purchase a home. And let's be honest, the more government gets involved, the more they screw it up, the tougher it gets. If they'd get out of the way and let the natural market do what it needs to do, we're already seeing a correction in rents coming down. We're already seeing home prices coming down. Markets correct themselves. When the government gets involved is when we have issues. And so when you eliminate the largest trade organization and the largest lobbying group, the attack on the National Association of Realtors who protect our property rights, when you eliminate them, guess what? You can attack the ability for people to have a say in what they do with their property. Just like at the state level right now, they're trying to bring anybody who does a short-term rental quadruple their taxes on their property. Like we need more taxes, right? Because you already are taxed federally, then by the state, then on every item you purchase, right? And if that isn't enough, then you have your property taxes. One could argue you can get up to 50% in taxes real quick. So the attack on property rights and more power to the tenants and less to a landlord becomes much easier when you eliminate an organization like National Association of Realtors, or you take away half of their capital that they use to fight for homeowners and landlords. Property rights is a big deal, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention that, yes, there is a movement. There is an attack on property rights. And it is so very important that you keep an eye on these things, that you talk with your legislators, that you talk with your local senators and local congressmen and women, and you let them know. There's some very important bills sitting up the Capitol right now, very important decisions being made that can affect your future. And for a majority of you listening, it is your largest asset. So you should be concerned. And you should be involved. You should be aware of what is going on. All right, that is all the time we got today. Thanks for tuning in The Extra. You have Tom Martino joining you next.